We dedicate our learning, as always, to Zeichen Nishmas HaKadoshim Shenaf Lukad Hashem on October 7th, and the soldiers, and unfortunately, you probably did not hear this, I have a Besura Ra, famous Rabbi Doron Peretz, his son, Daniel Shimon, who many of us have been davening for, was informed that his son was found dead already on October 7th. They just received the information. Unfortunately, they should only have Besura's Tovis, the family, and Nechama. Very difficult, many people were davening for him, and certainly very, very outspoken. We should only know Yeshua's, Mr. Shem, we should see in this month of Adar, only the hostages freed with only Besuras Tovis. So I don't want to jump, but if you can invite all your friends, since you have so many friends that are here today, Thursday night we're going to have a very special shiur. We're going to discuss something which probably you don't understand, it probably doesn't apply to you, but we're going to discuss drinking on Purim. I have a whole shiur I'd like to give on it, and I think it's a very important topic, even though it's illegal for you to drink. I think it's an important topic nonetheless. So that's Thursday night. I know it's going to be hard because it's after a fast. So invite all your friends and family and hopefully make a nice big mishmar with a groyser chillin. Maybe we can get some sponsors. We can get some potato kugel, stuff like that. What's drinking? You don't know what that is. I'm not talking about Coke Zero. I'm talking about Coke Zero. What? Drinking. Yeah, but we'll understand why do your fathers drink? Why do your friends? What's going on over there? Okay, so that's Thursday night. Invite all your friends. Today we're going to do a little freestyle. We're going to learn the important halachas of the holiday of Purim, and we'll go in no succinct order. Specifically, I won't go in order. I want to start with Mishalach Manos. I apologize, I don't have Mar Makomos tonight. I did have Mar Makomos, I just forgot to bring them. I was so tired. Let's discuss Mishalach Manos. So Mishalach Manos, as we know, I hope we know, I asked this question to my sheer bet guys, and they didn't know the answer to this. It was very pathetic. How many Mishalach Manos do we have to send? Halachically? Excellent. How do you know that? Right. The word is mishalach manot, as opposed to matanot le'evyonim, which is two, which is one gift to two evyonim, to two poor people. We try to be more machmir. The Rambam is very machmir to tell us, as he actually writes in Hilchos Yontif, although Rav Soloveitchik has a very... he's very into saying that the Rambam is not talking about that Yontif is the same as Purim. He thinks there's a lot of marked differences between the two. There's really a question, we didn't get to Suda yet, but there's really a question, how far do we take the Simcha aspect of Purim? Chayv Inishul Besume, as we'll see in the Gemara, which we'll quote on Thursday night, seems to think that there is an Inyan, as the Megillah says, that it's Yimei Simcha V'Mishnah. And in fact, there are some that hold, I always thought that the common understanding of Mishta v'Simcha is when you're b'Mishta, which is obviously one meal that we have that we call the Mishta, we call the Suda, that's when you have to have b'Simcha, and therefore there's drinking allowed during that. But no other time. Everybody agrees that at night there's no inyan to drink b'chlau. Nobody says that. There's no sources that are going to tell you that. But the question is that what does that mean? And it appears to be that the entire mitzvahs of the day, I want to argue, revolve around something very unique, which we may or may not have by other chagim, and that is the inyan of v'ahavta reicha kamocha. There is something unique about the holiday of Purim, that Purim revolved around love of our friends, because of course we know famously the Megillah starts off with a very sad story. The Megillah is a very interesting story, because if you're ma'ayan in the Megillah, you see it starts off, really, as we say, mi'evel yamtif, right? Right? It starts off with a really sad story of the Jewish people, right? I mean, act one, scene one. We literally start with, you know, telling us about a very sad story. The Jews are attending a Suda of Achashverosh, commemorating what he thought was the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is not being rebuilt. He miscalculated. And in fact, we use the, what do you call it? We say in that Lashon, what do we say? We say it in Eicha too. Anybody later? Anybody here lame? Megillah? You lame Megillah? Really? You don't even bar mitzvah? No, okay. Really? You lame the Megillah? I didn't know that. You know the time. You know, oh, you're not going to lame the Megillah. But you can lame. You can threaten me. You can lame the Megillah. Anyway, so I'll just tell you a funny story. We just were shopping around. Last Purim, my son was already bar mitzvahed. On my in-laws said that they want to buy him whatever he wants for Purim. And I say to him, whatever you want. So when a grandparent says that, normally the kid says, I want to watch. I don't know. What does he say? I want something reasonable. Well, I don't know where he got this from. He goes, I want a Megillah. So my mother-in-law said, okay, well, Megillah, how much does a Megillah cost? $100, $100, $200? I said to her, like 6,000-7,000 shekel. She's like, what did you say? Now, so I started to go, Rav Flintstein helped me out. And he said to me, I don't want to deal with it. You negotiate with this guy. So this is really true. A week before Purim, the guy, I really promise you, I don't remember the numbers, but there was a guy in Gimel over here, right across the street in Ramat Avraham, a Haredi guy, who wrote a Megillah. And I think actually his father wrote the Megillah. He was selling it for him. And let's just say, I'm making up a number, he wanted 7,000 shekel. And I didn't meet my son. I said to my son, it's crazy. So I said to him, I'm sorry, I love you're a nice guy. So he says, why don't you, apparently, I don't know why this is. I already know the answer to this, you can tell me. Sephardi Megillahs are much cheaper in general. Sephardi Sifrei Torah, they're much, I don't know, they're more, maybe there's more Seferim, maybe that's why. I don't know, everything Ashkenaz is more money. So he said to me, well, you could get a Sephardi. I go, well, I want this. So all of a sudden, he calls me up in Tanis Esther. He says, okay, fine, I'll take 6,000 shekel. I don't remember the real numbers. It could be 7, 8, I forgot. Anyway, I literally drove over. I remember this. I drove over there, and I'm like, shoot. And then what happened was is that when we got to Ramat Avraham, I went myself. They had a terrible service there, because I guess they probably don't have phone service, right? They don't need internet there. So Golan didn't care to put towers up. And I said, he won't give me the Megillah until he sees the Havarat Bankait. And he's not getting it. And I'm like, I got to go. I literally was late. Like, Megillah reading's happening now. I ran home, but I finally got it. I said to my son, ah, shkoyach, here. He's like, what? What happened? So we never got a case for it. So he just went to get a case for it. And literally went to the Merkaz. We went to like six different, this way, blah, 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 blah. Finally, we went to fancy schmancy Hadad. You know what I'm talking about? The silver store. And Israelis are so funny. There are three Israeli ladies there. She goes, ani lo mevina. Ech bar mitzvah, bachor bar mitzvah mekabel migila? אתה יודע כמה כסף זה עולה? תגיד לי, זה לא אמיתי, נכון? I'm like, what did I trick my son? I bought him a fake Megillah, and I want a Megillah. It was very strange question. Anyway, sorry, back to the story. So the Megillah does start off with this very sad part of the story, right? And of course, famously, Haman, in convincing Achashverosh, says, Yesh am mifuzar mivorad mikol amim. Besides the fact that they're not ba'achdus with each other. They don't even like each other, right? That's what he thought. And in fact, we just commemorated Zayin Adar. He dafka picked Adar because he thought it was a bad month, except we show Moshe Rabbeinu that we're his children and we are together. And in any case, so all of the mitzvahs of the day, even Altaina, that Megillah itself, right? There's a big shaila by Megillah. We know we have a din, Berovim Hadras Melech. The truth is that Berovim Hadras Melech is really a din by every mitzvah. Berovim Hadras Melech literally means what? The more the merrier. The more people you have, the better. Now, you don't understand what I'm talking about now, but I'm going to try to explain it to you. There is a custom outside of Eretz Yisrael. I don't think in Eretz Yisrael anybody, correct me if I'm wrong, if you ever saw this before, does anybody ever go to a Megillah reading that has a microphone? I don't know if it's that. I disagree with you. I don't know if it's that we don't have such big shuls or we don't have talking in our shuls. So I grew up with microphones. Not only the microphone, it's not a joke now. In the shul that I grew up in, the Youngers of Windmere, they had, this is not a joke, they had, you know how in Beit Shemesh there's only like, there's zero, that's actually in Beit Shemesh itself, there are zero traffic lights. The ones on 38 is not part of Beit Shemesh, but okay. They had a traffic light in the Youngers of Windmere, right? Ask your mom, but I'm not lying. They had a traffic light on top of, right over there, like where that is. And there was a guy controlling it. And when it said Haman, it was green. And then he would have a red, and you'd have to stop. It was like the greatest thing. Nobody ever listened to the Megillah at all. We were just watching the traffic light, you know, Haman, whatever. It was very noisy. Right, davening may be different. Megillah is a very, very questionable. Many people are Soymech, or Moshe Feinstein said, and but here in Eretz Yisrael, Shlomo Zalman and Tzitzili Yezer, they weren't big fans of it. We generally don't use a microphone, right? And when my son went to Mizpah Yericha, I remember they had a microphone. I was very surprised that Eretz Yisrael had a microphone. So the halacha is, I'm saying this on purpose, that really it should be Berovim Hadras Melech, which shows what? Because the Ikar Mitzvah here is Pesubei Nisa, because it's pursuing Nisa, then Dafka, what do we say? Because it's pursuing Nisa, we want to have more people. I want to be Mefarsa than Nisa. Therefore, it's not as appropriate, although you're Yotze, it's not as appropriate to go to a little loser reading, right? Like over a few people. Right? Something I've been over on, I'm not talking about COVID. COVID, we had no choice. But that's true. I remember one of the first years, we thought we had the greatest idea ever. I think it was actually a Motzei Shabbos. One of the first years we were here, the shul, I don't know if anybody was here when the shul looked like the way the shul did. It had literally no windows. There was just holes over here. It wasn't so, it's like, what are we going to daven here for? So we made a minyan on the block. It's really not appropriate to do. Unless you think you're not going to be able to concentrate or there's too much talking. I always tell the story about my first bar mitzvah when I was bar mitzvahed. I'm sorry, this is a great story. Great story about the siddkos of my father. It was a bar mitzvah at night. So just for discussing any, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. I said I was new to Shalchmanos. Of course, I have ADD, so I guess I didn't think about it. So which of the readings, night or day, which one is more important?
Day.
Night.
You didn't vote. Both of you didn't vote. Night or day? What do you think? Which Megillah reading is more important?
Day.
Don't say both. Don't say it's machlokes. Don't say. The guy in Shir Tei was so mad at him. This is a Shir Bet, guys. I asked the question and he says, it's machlokes. I almost smacked the kid. I'm like, you always say, you always say his answer, it's machlokes. I said, you're one of those guys that took a test and got a half points on everything. So the answer is unequivocally, according to everyone, the day is more important. 100%. 100% is the day. Why? It doesn't seem. I understand where you're coming from. It seems like I'm wrong. Why? So we say, the question is why it doesn't make so much sense, because then why do we read it at night, if I'm telling you this? Seems to be that the day is actually what it says, because the Pasuk in the Megillah uses the word Yom, by Yom, and therefore that's called Midivrei Kabbalah. That's a much higher level. Why? Because that's called the Tanakh reading. That's the one that's written in the Megillah. And then we have one that's written, that's done at night. I don't know. What do you mean?
Oh,
use it for... No, we call it the pasuk in Megillah, if I'm not mistaken, on Daf Dalet, talks about when do we how do we know we have to read the Megillah twice? By Yom Balayla, it quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Keli Keli Lama Zavtani. It quotes a pasuk from Chav Beis, I believe, in Tehillim. Rav Wagner wrote a beautiful piece on this. And that's the Shir Shal Yom. Those that follow the Gra, the Shir Shal Yom, Keli Kelam Zavtani, the Bokarina, right? Those two times. Our custom is, of course, to do both, of course, except there's a very interesting custom, which I could challenge you about as well, is that how many times on Purim do we say Shechianu? Once, Ishkoyach, once at night. At night, right? Anybody else want to refute that? You have a 50-50 chance.
Based on the fact that you're asking.
Right. So we say it in the day. Famously, the rabbi, somebody will get up and go, the person reading will say, I'm about to say a Shechianu. Please have in mind the mitzvahs of the day. Why? Machlokes is Rambam and Tosfos. Where the Rambam says, that's what you were talking about, Rambam. I know, you're a Rambam Jew. The Sfardim hold this way as well. The Rambam say the Shechianu is only done at night. That's the commemoration. The question is, what? It's interesting enough, Rabbi Sobolevsky was in Los Angeles for Shabbos. So Thursday night, he gave a shir to the koilel over there, and he spoke about Shechianu. So what is the reason why? You ever think about this? Why do we say Shechianu? Why do we say Shechianu? Anybody think about that? Why do we say Shechianu in general? In general. Why do you say Shechianu on a holiday? Why? Why? What?
Thanking Hashem
that what? Very good. Okay, I mean, literally, that's what we say. Shechianu v'kiyamu l'gamaz mazeh. Something that's...
Isn't it making it greater?
Something that's... Something that's zman. It doesn't happen all the time. Right? It's something special. I could tell you, I remember, not that long ago, our last holiday, on Hanukkah, that first night, I was very emotional. All these soldiers, Nebuch, are sitting in Gaza, and I have the schus to be able to light, maybe lighting on behalf of a soldier. I was, in fact, my son told me at that time, actually, he was serving in a, that week he was in an Arab town for a few of the nights. He wasn't able to light. I don't know if, and then he was able to, I forgot what happened. But some of the nights he said to me, Abba, can you have me in mind? He still is Sadiq al Shulchan Aviv. Right? That's very emotional. Shasa Nisim Avi Seino, of course, but Shechianu, we reached this point. So Shechayano. So it's a machlekes, Rambam, Tosfos as well. Is it mizman lazman, or is it an inyan of simcha? Mizman lazman, so then you just say it once. We know this, by the way. We know this because we, excuse me, lazman, let's say sukkahs. So you could kind of, maybe that's because you're sitting in the sukkah, but also you have lulav. You're going to say Shechayano again. Shofar, we say it on both days. So do you say, so we repeat the Shechayano. Why? Divrei Kabbalah, I just told you, that's a more important one. So maybe you should. There was a famous question that was asked to Rav Asher Weiss last week on Motzei Shabbos. You were there? I wasn't there because I had to go to the Zachen Zachen. You remember this? Good. But I'll tell you something funny about what he said. Yeah, go ahead. I'll ask you a question. Excellent. So that could be different because of Yom HaRichna. We have a big problem with that Shechayano. Excellent point. Rav Sarlowski didn't even mention this. He mentioned Shechayano. I'll tell you a good Rabbi Sarlowski story. So the Shechayano on Rosh Hashanah may be a little bit different because of the Inyan of Yom HaRichna. We don't know which day is really true. Even though we know which really day is Rosh Hashanah, but okay. So therefore, we have the famous minhag that on the second night, even in Eretz Yisrael, it's our only second night, on the second night we make Kiddush, we bring out the new fruit, which I think is always a big joke because the new fruit usually is something horrible that doesn't taste good. You probably would never say Shechayano. So the question today, do we say Shechayano is on a new suit or something like that? Rabbi Soletsky said that he had this question when he got married. He said, how can it be? I'm going to get married tonight. I'm not going to say Shechayano and getting married. It's a pretty big deal. So everybody says, at a lot of weddings in Eretz Yisrael, this became the minhag. I think there's a minhag really of Sfardim and Yekim where they put on a new talus. And therefore, they can say a Shechayano on the new talus, which is interesting in itself that they're making the Shechayano at night because we don't wear really a talus at night. Okay, whatever, not for now. But they do say Shechayano. What? Yeah. But the question is, why do you make a Shechayano on a mitzvah that you're not really supposed to do at night? In fact, we say, to make the bracha l'satev betzitzis, right, on Yom Kippur, we wear a talus at night. You're supposed to make sure to make it before Kol Nidre, before Me'obod Yom. It's an interesting question, nonetheless. But okay, so maybe you could say, I can say Shechayano anyway I make it on my new suit. You know, I bought a new suit, fancy schmancy. So he questioned, Rabbi Soletsky said that Rav Soloveitchik wasn't a big fan of Shechayanos on new suits because he said people wear suits all the time. In Eretz Yisrael, of course, that's not true. The guy that wears a suit to his wedding is like, it could be the once in his lifetime. So maybe that would be a Shechayano. What about a bar mitzvah boy? Shechayano on new tefillin. So many poskim say you shouldn't say Shechayano. Why? Because when does he put his tefillin on first? He's not bar mitzvah yet. So he's 30 days before. I've seen poskim say, so what? So what? He's not bar chiyuva. Can't say Shechayano? He's not bar chiyuva. Some say no. And then now it becomes a bar mitzvah day when he's actually a bar mitzvah boy. He's worn the tefillin for 30 days. He can't make Shechayano. Now it's too late. Right? You can't wear a new suit for weeks and weeks and weeks and then say, oh my God, I forgot. I don't think. Maybe there's a certain amount of time, but not the entire time. A person can't do that. That would be also for a person to do. So you, yeah.
There's a recurring question about.
Yeah. It's not Thursday night. Yeah, go.
A man's friend walks up to the chuppah and says the Shechayano, and then he takes the fruit out of his pocket.
And he says, "Yeah, I think I heard this one. Yeah, it's funny." So it's a guy. He wants to joke his friend because he's not getting a bracha under the chuppah. I was just talking to the chassid. Maybe it was a little bit inappropriate, but Schmacher here, he was in charge of making the brachas, of calling out the people. So I asked him, I said, how much money would I pay you for me to get a bracha over another Rebbe from Leiva Torah? Rav Jake. We were going to take Rav Jake's bracha away. Anyway, so I said to him, if there were 21 brachas under the chuppah, would you give me a bracha? Like, I wanted to know how important I am. Yeah, 22, he said. No, anyway, so yeah, if you want to make a joke, you can go up at the wedding and take a cup of Coke Zero and go, shh. You're like, okay, fine. We're going to do that. So that's the only chance I had. So let's go back to your Rav Asher Weiss. I listened to the Shira. I know everything. So it's very funny that you say that because I was asking the guys last week this question. They were like, oh, we all went to Rav Asher Weiss. So what did Rav Asher Weiss say? So some of them made a mistake. Rav Asher Weiss's question was an awesome question. The question was, what about a soldier? Let's say you have a soldier, very common, right? He's going to get out of Gaza. So now he talks to I was just actually talking to one of our wonderful soldiers from our community. I was talking to him about it, and he says, Baruch Hashem, I'm very, very fortunate. He was here for Shabbos, and he says, he's been in Gaza for many months. He said, Baruch Hashem, they told me I can get out for Shushan Purim,
Shushan Purim doesn't mean much to, you know, Gaza people, I guess. But he goes to Yeshivat HaKotel. So Baruch Hashem, he can celebrate Purim. He says, that's amazing. I'm so excited. Although he'd probably have to hear the Megillah. Not probably. He'll have to hear the Megillah in Gaza. But in any case, what if this is obviously very possible. I mean, now we think we're such a firm army. It's possible a guy can't hear Megillah. So now he has a choice. His commander says you can get out to hear Megillah at night or the day. I just told you we spent the whole shiur, Rav Asher Weiss's whole shiur is the days more, the days more, the days more, the days more important. So he marshaled the famous tshuva of the Radbaz against the Chacham Tzvi. What do you do? A guy was in prison. There were days that a guy's in prison. So, right? So the Radbaz famously says, go out right away. Why? They can go back on what they said. You have a chance to daven Ma'ariv? Just daven Ma'ariv. Just davening Ma'ariv? Come on. At least, that's a reshus. At least shach. No, right away, get out. So the same thing we would say here. Get out the night. Even though the night is not more important, I agree with you. You can't do the mitzvahs of the day. Shkoyach, you shouldn't do that. I was once so beautiful. We have a custom. Mirtzah Hashem, we'll go back to this custom. To go to the hospital on Shushan Purim. Go to Shari Tzedek and give out Mishloach Manos. And it's a beautiful minhag to have. To do something nice on Shushan Purim. So afterwards, I wanted to be mechabed the kids. They did such a great mitzvah. We gave it all of our, and we get rid of all of our yachi shachmanos anyway. They had the thing in the shul. I know, but that, we don't feel good about that. I mean, it's nice you can donate, but here we're mamash delivering it to you. Anyway, so I took them out to the Malcha Mall. I saw the most beautiful thing. This is so cute. The Malcha Mall. What they were doing was there was two Chabad people waiting on the escalator on the bottom and the top. And they gave you Mishloach Manos. You went up the escalator and you gave it to somebody else. And they had this revolving, so everybody was yotze the mitzvah. A lot of non-firm people, they're yotze the mitzvah, giving back and forth, whatever it might be. Not for now. Very, very cute mitzvah. So Rav Asher Weiss said that. It's true, the Chacham Tzvi does say you should do the first Daraisa, maybe you should wait for Shabbos Zachar. Okay, you wait a few weeks. There's a machlekes over there. Let's get to Mishloach Manos, because Mishloach Manos is quite misunderstood. Maybe not as much in Eretz Yisrael, but certainly in America, there is a very famous minhag of having a theme. A theme. How can you not have a theme? A poem. I can't have a poem. Even in the shul. Every shul has a poem. Right? We're very machmir. We give our Mishloach Manos out on Thursday. So we know. Obviously, I got my first Mishloach Manos today. Some wonderful parents of Yeshiva Leif HaTorah. They gave every single Rebbe even the ones that don't really work there, they gave them a beautiful Mishloach Manos. So clearly they know they're not Yotze Zayin. Well, why not? Well, let's discuss. So there's a famous, oft-quoted, quote-unquote, machlokas. I'll say why I say quote-unquote machlokas between the Manos HaLevi and the Trumas HaDeshen. As many other people say this, but this is what's... Then the Trumas HaDeshen goes with the regular Shita. I'm not really sure why the Trumas HaDeshen gets all the honor, but a lot of people say this, that the reason why, when we talk back to the Achdus place, is you have two types of people who are poor. You have one type of person who's going to, mamash, he comes around, he's not embarrassed. He knocks on your door and says, listen, I need money for Sukkot Purim. Right? Or an organization that collects for people who need money for Sukkot Purim. And then Nebuchadnezzar, you have a guy who's not going to tell you that he's been out of a job for the last 6 months. He's not going to tell you his real story. He's not going to tell you he lost his house in the south. He's embarrassed. So in order to make sure that everybody has a Sukkot for Purim, we just give everybody. Everybody's exchanging gifts. It's amazing. And this way, nobody's embarrassed. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we wear masks. So you don't even know who gives it. Maybe that's the reason why, one of the reasons why we do it Aliyah Shliach. Fine. Comes along the Manos HaLevi and he says, well, that's not really the reason. The reason is Achva Vireyos. I told you the whole Megillah is the center of the Megillah. It's about taking care of your friend. As I told you about the Rambam. The Rambam speaks about in Hilchos Yontov, don't be mole kresa. Don't fill your stomach with delicious things that Yontov, you're chayiv to have, at least according to the Rambam, for sure, right? You have to have basar v'yayin, you're going to have all these steaks, and tamal steaks, and cowboy steaks, and everything you could think of, and you're not taking care of the people that actually don't have nothing to eat, azai chutzpah? He says, you're nothing, you're nobody. Similar lashon, he says, by right, we should spend more money on the mitzvah of matanos le'avyonim than any other mitzvah, by far, no question about it. So, in that way of promoting Achva V'Reyos, in that way of promoting V'Hatha Recha Kamocha, that's the reason of Mitzvah. So many of the poskim, I mean, Mikatza L'Katza, like to use this Machlokes to give a whole Lumdus Shashir. And say, now let's talk about it. The Manos HaLevi actually was famous. I think my brother-in-law followed this minhag as well, from what I understand. And I have a friend who already told me, he says, you're going to love your Mishloach Manos. It's a safer.
I'm very excited. So the Manos Levi, apparently, when you went to his house, instead of giving you Mishalach Manos, he gave you his Sefer. Very nice. Right? Some people won't like it. But it's Achav Reyes. Tell me what I'm going to like better. I'm going to have a Leva Torah student, Chutzpah, who's going to come to my house. Hey, Revertstein, what's going on? Right? And what is he going to give me? He's going to give me a little taffy with one of those Yesh Vafalim. You know what I'm talking about? You get 30 for a shekel, you know what I'm saying? 30 for 10 shekel. I go, wow. I'm going to throw in the garbage. What do I care? That or a safer? I'll take a safer every day of the week. Of course. My teacher gives a safer. Right? Okay. So you can tell me, but then maybe that's like, now, there are people like Rav Asher Weiss, and I love Rav Asher Weiss. It's just so amazing that he could say this. He says, I don't understand why everybody's making a shir klali on this. The Manas Halevi would never have the chutzpah. Who's the Manas Halevi? The Manas Halevi was Rav Alkabetz, the one who wrote the L'chadodi. He wasn't known to be a great, achroin that wrote. He wouldn't disagree with the Trumas Hadeshin and many others. He was qualifying it and explaining your Mashalach Manas can't just be something for the Suda, that it has to promote Achav Reyes. What do I mean? I'll tell you what I mean. Maybe you can say the following thing. Let's say you go to your friend's house, and your friend is wealthy like you don't believe. Oh, he's got a gorgeous house, right? He's a B'nai Beischa guy. You know, he's got a B'nai Beischa, he's got a huge house. He's got a Hummer and a Tesla and a whole ganz good show. So now, lehalacha, you could be yotze with something that is royu for the Suda. So what do? You bring a piece of deli. Right? A piece of pastrami and a piece of turkey. In fact, that's what the Rambam writes, two different types of meat. That's what you bring up. For most people, that would be wonderful. For him, there's no Achav Reyes there. He's like, deli? Could be that for him, you have to bring a chash of a gift. And you're not Yoytze Zayin. Maybe the Manos Halevi is just qualifying what the Trumas Hadeshin is saying, and they're not two machlekesim. Many want it to be two machlekesim, so they're going to say the following thing. I get Mashalach Manos. Let's just say I got a real Mashalach Manos today, and it wasn't from the parent body of Leva Torah. It was from a specific person. So now that person wasn't smart, and the person calls me and says, calls me on Purim and says, I made the biggest mistake ever. I paid them extra money to deliver it on Purim. They told me to deliver it on Thursday, or in my case, on Sunday, a week before. What's the halacha? Are they Yotze? So if the reason is destroyed for the Suda, does it have to be done on the day itself? Rav Sternbach has this tshuva. Sternbach says, you have a guy who owns a store. I just went to this place in the Khmer Khaz, Magical Moments. So they did, this is their big holiday. This is it. They make all these gorgeous Mashalach Manos for 250 shekel for three little candies. But it's in a Lusart thing. It's nice. Little whatever. Okay, yeah. Everybody loves it. And they had out, they're right next to an apartment building. So on the left and right side of the apartment buildings, they built these beautiful storage things with all their Mashalach Manos. I guess they're assuming nobody's going to steal it, right? Because this is their big holiday. So Magical Moments, let's say, had a delivery service. What are they going to do? There's no way they can deliver all their Mashalach Manos on Sunday. So the questions would be, Yotze, well, Achav Reyes you're not going to get because I have Achav Reyes now on Sunday. Sunday when? Sunday before. A week before. Is it right? I don't know. By Sunday, I don't know if anything I opened up now is ready for the Suda because everybody's going to eat it. Maybe. So maybe that would be a machlokes. Can you give it at night? The same idea. Night is Purim. You're not Yotze at night, but I'm going to have Achav Reyes in the morning. I don't know. So these are some of the fun machlokesim that people like to use when they want to explain this. Or you can go like Rav Asher Weiss and say, there's no real machlokes over here. You can't call this a machlokes. Yeah. So the other famous thing, which I just alluded to, is whether or not you have to have, I don't know if you ever heard this before, you have to have two brachas. You have to have two brachas. Where'd that come from? It's not written anywhere. You'll never find this. In fact, Rabbi Soloski once said it. Somebody said to him, Rabbi Soloski, I'll share the prize with you. Apparently in some Haredi newspaper, they said they'll give $100 to anybody who can find the source that you need Mashalach Manos with two different brachas. So Rav Soloski said, I'll take $50, you take $50, I'll write it. It's in the Hashmatos of the famous Sefer Bikurei Koyach, which is the Sefer he wrote. Hashmatos means like the end, when they write notes at the end. I'll write a new note that says that. It's not written anywhere. I think that maybe the basis of this is the following, probably, is that they were afraid that people were going to just get shahakal yucky stuff. Two little candies, candy bar. So if it's two brachas, this way at least something will be chashav. The question is, does it really have to be something royal for the Suda?
If you put in two chocolates, or whatever, no one needs to be
a No, so two chocolates. So that's the question. The question is how stark, again, this is only for one person. So anybody here Everybody here is over bar mitzvah. Do you want to be yoytze the mitzvah? You have to give one, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have to give one person only, a chashav and shal chamanas. What does chashav mean? Very easy. All you have to do is buy a lachmaniyah, put a hot dog in it. A lachmaniyah, put a piece, you know, some turkey in it. Something chashav. You want to be yoytze kol hashitas, it has to be something that's roi for the suda. This is, comes into question. Some say that liquids is not considered to be roi for the suda, although if any of you want to give me a Coke Zero, I'll be very happy. But, right?
If one person, I'll give him a toast, then he'll be happy. And the other person, I'll give him a steak and that and free.
So that's if you believe in this machlokes. If you believe this is a true machlokes, and the person, let's say you bring me, you bring me a toast. So you did bread and cheese. Those are two things that are two different items. I don't have to do brachas. Two different items. Happens to be, I don't need cheese, let's say. I'm allergic to. So now what have you done? You come to my house. This actually happened once, and my wife was working in a place, and they sent this beautiful mishloach manos. It was followed by an email, and the email said, we apologize. The one of the items that was there, there was only two items. It was a beautiful, I'll just tell you what it was. They worked very, very hard on this. It was a beautiful bottle of champagne. It looked like a pineapple. And it was pineapple candies all over. Turned out the pineapple candies did not have ashkacha. So that's the problem. Not everybody would agree that you're not yotze if you didn't have it. What if it had an ashkacha that you don't trust? Right? You're still firm, right? You only Yechov Yisrael, let's say. Right? So we're makbid that in our house we try. So I want to make everybody to be happy. So even though I made out of Yechov, so you should make it for somebody that they should be able to eat. So I think that maybe the two brachas came from a place that it shouldn't be something that's not, although it's kind of funny because the Rambam's lashon seems to be, the Rambam's lashon is very clear that it's two different types of meat. And that's one bracha, but that's the most chashava thing in the world is two types of meat. So it's interesting. It's interesting. So it could also be that the achva v'reis part is for everybody else. As long as I'm yoytze with one, I give the rabbi the shul, I give one person something chashav. So that's good enough. And everybody else is we've always had the custom. I've always been machmir on this. All of my shalach manos, all Baruch Hashem, all the years. At least for the 25 years I've been married. So when I was in control of my shalach manos, it's always been very, like, machmir royal lasuda. So for example, last year we did charcuterie boards. So charcuterie boards are, you know, all different types of dried meats. So my wife was very upset. She says, look at all these dried meats. I'm talking about each platter probably costs, I don't know, $20 or something. So she's like, it's not good enough because there's only one bracha. I'm like, oh my God, with the one bracha. So I said, okay, I want to make you feel good. So we bought mini jerkins, what's it called? Jerkins, pickles. So we put that in the center. It makes her feel better. But you didn't need the two brachas. That's really right for the Suda. People actually told us they put it out at the Suda. This year, I think, we wanted to scale down because it's war and this and that. So only doing American, not just American hot dogs, American flavored Abel's and Hyman's knockwurst hot dogs. So a hot dog and a bun, that's very much Royal Lasuda, right? In fact, again, just to give you the idea, we're not talking about getting drunk now, but nobody says you have to have the Suda at night. A person, you know, may be nervous, because we'll learn that the Suda probably should be meat, probably should have meat and wine, but you probably have meat. When we say meat, we mean basar behema. So if you should have basar behema, maybe you're afraid, but I don't know, unless you go into, you don't know what you're going to have in a Suda. Or Nebuch. Don't say anything bad. You're going to a Suda, Nebuch. Should never have this. But you go to a Suda, it's milchix. Chas v'shal. So what do you do? In the morning, right when you get back from shul, you take Hartstein's hot dog and you wash on it, and that's your Suda. Yishkoyach. That's beautiful. Assuming it's an American hot dog. I don't normally say good things about America, but the American hot dogs are actually real meat as opposed to here they're made out of chicken. They're chicken hot dogs, not bechlo aleinu. But yeah, I think that a person can make a suda early if he's chashash, no problem. Yeah.
Does it have to be ready now?
What do you mean?
I give you a mishloach manos. I give you a goat.
So for sure, good question. It definitely has to be roy. Question is that if it's something that just has to be heated up a little bit. Is that not good enough? So for example,
if I give you not cooked wings, you're gonna have to no cook them.
Yeah, that would be also. That would not, you know, be yotze the mitzvah. Now, if the question would be, if I give you, like I want it to be absolutely delicious, so I give you, I think I did this 2 years ago. Last year we did that. 2 years ago, I think we did something called hush puppies. This is a great food. Hush puppy is like the most healthy thing you could ever have. It's a puff pastry with mashed potatoes in it and a hot dog. It's delicious. Great thing. I think we did hush puppies. So the hush puppy, so the way the hush puppy works is you have to put it in the oven. So what if, so that I think also, if I gave you a raw hush puppy, I don't think that's good enough. What if I gave you something that's what we call par-baked? You have to put it in the oven for like 2 minutes. She gets the crisp. Maybe that you could tie into that would be okay. But we try not to play any games here. And we try to give things that are dafka ready for the suda. Can I say desserts are ready for the suda? Maybe. Maybe I could say as long as you give me two desserts, you give me a humantash and a cookie. So maybe that would be good enough. I think one should just be, why not to try to be machmir, to be yoytze kol hashitos. I think that's by far the best thing for a person to do. Now, there's no question, as we said before, just going back to the Megillah for a second, there's no real nafkamina here. As far as you have to hear the Megillah both times. It's kind of funny because it seems like, maybe I'm wrong about this, just the way things work out, right? Usually you're more berovim hadras melech at night because everybody's in shul. And during the day, everybody's going to five different minyanim that we have. So there's not as many people. But no, that's the way that it is. There's no question about it. Some say that maybe for there's a machlekes about women reading the Megillah, that certainly during the day that wouldn't be good. And a bar mitzvah boy. A bar mitzvah boy, we're nervous because maybe the during the day is a mitzvah midaraisa, and therefore, divrei kabbalah. Divrei kabbalah, we need a higher level, and the bar mitzvah boy would be nervous because of the sheet of shtei saros, so it's just like we wouldn't lay in parsha zachar. Maybe that would be a different nafkaminas that you could have between the two. That's as far as Megillah. And as I said, Mishal Chmanas, Mitanas Lev Yonim probably is the most simple, although there is chumras, and even in Mitanas Lev Yonim, some people say you should try your best to give Mitanas Lev Yonim also to people in Yushalayim. I always have this with one of my Rebbeim who gives money for me to give out. So he says to me, can you find people that live in Yushalayim? Last year I was so excited, this woman contacted me through Rav Bakno, and she said, I don't think it's so practical though, because I said, oh my God, you live in Yerushalayim, this is amazing. I can give you. And she said, but you don't understand, if I get the money on Purim morning, there's no place to go. Every supermarket's closed. So I don't think that's so practical to dafka give it out on that day. That's a shiloh about in the poskim about giving the person the money so that they can purchase it for the suda. They're going to have to do it a few days before. You know, Osher is not open on Purim. So I think it's a davar yadua that people don't necessarily give it out. In the day, we're giving on anyway. If you want to do a good trick, I think everybody knows this halacha, that if you ask for money, we don't ask any questions. So if you come to the door with your mishalach manos, and then you say to the person, hey, I also need money, I have to give you money halachically. I can't say, what are you talking about? Your father's loaded. What are you talking about? No, I'm not allowed to do that. I have to give everybody money. So kids like to play this game sometimes where they ask for money. Well, there used to be maybe this is an American thing. We used to give everyone the kid, you know, deliver the mishalach manos. They give him $1 or $2. The kid could do very well. You know, if it goes to every single place, you could do well. Yeah.
We have the
Lamana
Chai thing until Purim.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I give it now, it could be saved until Purim?
Very good question. I think yes. I think that even, yeah. I don't think, I was on the VOD of Lamana Chai, so we had this discussion. It's very helpful for Lamana Chai to get the money before so that they know what they're distributing. Even though they'll distribute it during the day, they're able to start to call already and say, here's what we think we're gonna we already have $10,000, we already have $20,000, we have $100,000. They know already what I think that's a fair thing to do. I don't understand Lamaisa. Again, you have to understand that in the olden days, they didn't have refrigeration. So they were buying they were going to the market that day, they're getting the cow or whatever, and they were gonna give it, because it's not like they could buy it a week before. Now, everybody's running to the supermarkets early, you know, like everybody's, Right, correct. So I think that would be okay. I think that's generally what's done. I don't think that's the question. Just as far as in general, again, some of the lesser known minhagim, what's it based on? So the dressing up is somewhat problematic, I think, during the Megillah reading itself. Somebody who's over the age of bar mitzvah probably should wear big day Shabbos on Purim. Probably should wear big day Shabbos, at least to the Megillah readings, at least the davening part. If a person wants to get dressed up, there's probably nothing wrong with that, although we have a shayla of different ways of getting dressed up, then maybe there would be an isser for a person to dress up as the opposite sex, dress up like a woman. That may be a problem, although some people say that all this is waived on Purim. There's no, we let you, you know, you could wear this for the joking, for the this and that. Okay, maybe. I don't think that that's the greatest idea ever. I like to tell my students, one of my students asked me today, he's got three different costumes, what should he do? And I said, I always find that nichnas yayin yotze soid, I think the same thing with Purim. If you dress a certain way, you know, a guy dresses like a gangster, maybe that's who he wants to be. I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe not. Maybe wrong. What? Right? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, maybe not. You know, a Nachman guy. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. But in any case, dressing up, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. As I said before, it's part of this whole concept of, you know, of Barahafochu, and it's fun, and the people laugh, and that's what we're supposed to be doing on this day, and especially during a war. I think it's even more difficult for a person not to laugh. So I think it's a mitzvah for a person to do that. I don't think there's any problem with it. Again, the Big Day Yisha thing maybe could be a potential problem. Obviously, just to give you some potential problems with costumes, I know a person, I'm not going to mention his name. So every year, for years, I used to dress up. I dress up every year. My wife, I don't know why, my wife would always go to the she always would help run the gamach. They have a beautiful gamach here of costumes. And every year she would call me and says, what do you want to dress up at? So we've had some amazing years. But probably one of our greatest years ever, this could be a Shiloh, is I dressed up as the Pope and my wife was a nun. Very interesting. So the question is that appropriate? I didn't have a cross, chas v'shalom. But is that appropriate to dress up like another religion? Again, what was I really dressed up as? I wore a yarmulke, shkoyach, you know. I had a red yarmulke instead. And I had a white glima. I don't know if that's it. I don't know if a person's up. Maybe that's going too far. Maybe a person can't do that. It's very interesting. Some of the costumes, you have to be careful. Besides for shatnez, which you probably wouldn't know. It's hard to tell. But there is a costume where somebody dresses up like a Sefer Torah. I remember this in Rabbi Savlaskar Shul. There was a guy who was actually a regular guy. And he dressed up like a Sefer Torah. The problem was that the Sefer Torah costume was basically like tzitzis. Because it was here and then on the back. So he asked Rabbi Soloski, he says, do I need tzitzis on this garment? He says, well, it's a temporary garment. He says, yeah, you need tzitzis on it. Take it off right now. You need, because it had four corners and it didn't have a middle here. So you have to be careful sometimes with costumes, exactly what they are. And so, again, in general also, if a person is not dressed appropriately, a person has to be careful. Obviously for women this applies as well, but sneeze applies to men as well. Maybe that's not the most appropriate thing. Again, it doesn't bother me so much. You know, a kid wants to dress up, whatever, he wants to color his hair for the day or put on fake tattoos or, okay, I don't know if that's the worst thing in the world. I think it promotes just a day of simcha. A simcha vareos, as we'll discuss maybe on Thursday night, that is very different. There's something different happening here. And therefore, that's why we allow all these things. You know, there's very interesting that many sifrei halacha, if I'm not mistaken, the Shach and others, speak about what if you damage somebody else's thing on Purim, there may be a Shilas, the famous Reb Zilber, many Reb Zilberstein Shilas about this, that maybe you're not Chayav on Purim, because everybody knows that people destroy things on Purim. What a crazy halacha. Totally against halacha. So we see that a lot of things on Purim, like drinking, like other things, seem not to be the realm of halacha that we generally follow. That's okay. That's okay. Right? It shows how different Purim is. And it's interesting, I think it's very interesting, as opposed to Pesach, where we have this chiyuv of having the children ask, clearly the holiday is very much geared towards children, right? This whole concept, by the way, of I give a whole shiur on making noise for Haman. Where did that come from? So Mestama, one of the ikker things was to get kids interested and for them to be quiet during Megillah reading, because they're listening for Haman all the time, right? If sometimes you have good laners, you know, right in the beginning they say the word Muman, right? And if it look, and then he'll say it in a way where the kids will be like, oh, no, not yet, whatever, right? Okay. Or, you know, you'll have the Machmir Shuls who don't just make noise for Haman. They make noise when it says, B'chol Medina, Medina, you know, if you're Satmar, they don't like the Medina, whatever. Or at the end, people make noise for Mas. They know that Achashverosh made a Mas, like, boo, Mas, you know, okay, fine, we don't like to make taxes, I don't know why, right? Okay, so there's some cute things in the Valkyrie, you know, something, he's going to say the word Sus, and he goes, you know, like, okay, right? It adds to, so there definitely is a children aspect to the holiday itself, although that's interesting. Obviously, the children had something to do with the Nes, when Mordechai got together with all the children, learning the laws of Kmitza, okay, but fine. But, so it seems to be very, and it's very interesting that kid-oriented nature of it became like adults started dressing up, which is probably not such a source for, okay, unless you like my Mishal Chmanos idea. You know, if I come in a gorilla costume and deliver Mishal Chmanos, by the way, that's a question of halacha. What if I deliver Mishal Chmanos to you, back to our Mishal Chmanos machlokes, and the card fell off, or I'm wearing a gorilla costume and you don't know who I am? So as I yoytze, you now have food for the Suda, but there's no achvareyos, because you don't know who I was.
Okay, you have shalas like that. Very, very, very nice. But again, the bottom line here is Baruch Hashem, we have many mitzvahs to do of the day. But I think a lot of them, as I started off by saying, have to do really, not all of them, with v'ahavta reicha kamocha, because that is the ikar of the day. The ikar of the day is Knes Kol Yehudim, that all the Yehudim got together, and it was through our tshuva that we did, that we were zeicha to this. Just one last famous line, which I'm sure you've heard before. There's something unique, as we say. The Sefer Minhagim says, God, he quotes it in the name, it's just maybe the Sefer Minhagim, maybe Rei Sofer says something like this, about the toys. Even the toys of the holidays are important. Because when it came to the holiday of Hanukkah, what's the toy of Hanukkah? The dreidel. How do you spin the dreidel? From the top. Why? We learned that the Jews did not do the tshuva they should have done, and the Rabbanu Shalom saved us. We didn't deserve to be saved. He saved us. Pach Shemen, the whole thing is all Nisim and Nifloys of Hashem. However, when it came to Purim, what do we use? The Grager. The Grager is from the bottom. Why? The Grager is from the bottom to remind us of the fact that we did it ourselves. That's a great thing in us doing it ourselves. Knesset Kol Yehudim. We did a mass tshuva movement. That's an amazing thing. It was Bederech HaTeva more. There's more Teva that was involved. That's why Hashem's name not mentioned in the Megillah. In any case, it's something to keep in mind as well, that we have this great opportunity to do so many different mitzvahs. As opposed to Hanukkah, we have one mitzvah. Here we have so many mitzvahs to do, we should be zeichet to commemorate them and could keep this v'hafta reicha kamocha that Baruch Hashem has been Baruch Hashem infectious in our community and certainly in Eretz Yisrael as a whole.